W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The first trial in the deadly onset shooting in New Mexico more than 2 years ago on Alec Baldwin's low-budget Western.
The armor on the film Rust, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, goes on trial today for involuntary manslaughter and tampering charges. They'll start with jury selection in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Prosecutors say Gutierrez-Reed was negligent in handling weapons and ammunition on the set in October of 2021, one of the factors that led to Alec Baldwin pulling the trigger on a gun that should never have been loaded with live rounds. Baldwin is also facing an involuntary manslaughter charge. His trial date has not yet been set.
ABC's Jason Nathanson. Donald Trump has yet to put up the hundreds of millions of dollars needed to appeal the New York business fraud judgment against him. State Attorney General Letitia James says they're ready to start taking over Trump's properties if he does not. Christopher Ward died in a hospital in Lakewood, Colorado, after he was bitten by one of the two venomous Gila monsters he kept as pets. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court rejected an appeal of the admissions policy at a highly competitive magnet school in the Washington, D.C. suburbs.
Officials in Fairfax County, Virginia, determined in 2020 that Thomas Jefferson High School, recognized as one of the nation's best, had been admitting too many Asian students and not enough blacks, whites, or Hispanics. The Fourth Circuit Appeals Court held that a more racially balanced policy didn't discriminate because even though far fewer Asian Americans were admitted, they still made up a majority. The Supreme Court leaves that ruling standing.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington. The most stolen books from the San Francisco Public Library shelves? Not the hottest new novels or juicy memoirs. No, they're books about substance abuse recovery. So the city introduced a proposed ordinance to distribute addiction recovery books for free at the city's 27 public libraries, including the 12-step recovery book published by Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, if I could find my grandma's recipe for grappa, maybe we could do that.
A moonshine?
Grappa.
Oh, grappa's not moonshine?
We don't like that term.
The Italians don't like the Kentucky or what?
And that's what it said on the arrest papers.
That's right. You're one of the few guys I know that the grandma did time.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
It is going to be sunny and mild again today with a high right around 50 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 30. Tomorrow, sunny once again. High of 50 on Friday. Sunny and cooler, 31, but we're going to bounce back to the upper 40s to near 50 again for the upcoming weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Todd Almost Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From I-43 to I-41.
This is the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
In to win. It's that easy. It's your chance to win a $25 gift card to Home Field Apparel. And for all the college sports gear, be sure to check out homefieldapparel.com.
You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Saw people running around in shorts yesterday. That's the kind of hearty stuff we're made of in Wisconsin. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Youngke. Tickled to have you along with us as we hit Med Week around the state of Wisconsin. If you were outside in shorts yesterday, guess what? You probably have a repeat performance coming your way today. Not as much sunshine for this Wednesday as what we enjoyed yesterday, but still plenty warm. 56 are expected high today under partly cloudy skies. Not much of a breeze expected, at least not for most of the day. Tomorrow, similar picture, partly cloudy skies and 57. Then a sudden change of events for Friday. Partly cloudy skies, 36 are expected high on Friday. Saturday, no better than 41 before we jump back to the 50s on Sunday. What's coming up weather-wise? Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, has all the details on the way. Also, Wisconsin beef producers being asked some questions about how their checkoff dollars are being spent. Talking about that with Grace Link from the Wisconsin Beef Council. And it's auction season again around the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk with Randy Caff, who's in-state coordinating a lot of dairy auctions this spring. It's all on the way.
At Compere Financial, we're defined by you, your hopes for the future, as well as what you need today. As a local member-owned cooperative, you shape how we serve agriculture and rural communities. As a partner and part of your community, we're here for you with personalized service and expertise you can rely on. Contact your local Compere Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compere.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Just because vegetables aren't growing outside right now doesn't mean that the community-supported agriculture farmers are just sitting around. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Tess Romansky, Communications and Development Manager for the Fair Share CSA Coalition, provides some insight into what those farmers are doing right now during the winter and what customers should know for this year's season.
Fair Share CSA Coalition supports about 40 endorsed farms, and then we have an additional number of affiliated farms. So Fair Share supports about 80 small-scale diversified vegetable farms across the Midwest, with the majority of them being in Wisconsin.
And with those CSA farmers, what change-ups maybe are those producers making right now?
Two major adjustments we've seen in CSA since the pandemic specifically, and then in the last few years, has been an increase of customizable shares and home delivery. So online sales portals during the pandemic really took off and became more efficient for both consumers and farmers to use. So this helps a lot with customizing, where customers can swap or pick from a curated list that goes into their box each week just right online. So the technological advances during the pandemic really made that model easier for farmers to offer. We've also seen a lot of our farmers offer home delivery options as well, especially with safety considerations during the pandemic and ease of access for folks who maybe can't go out to a drop site. And then market shares are also something where we've seen a lot of growth, where members can pay upfront at the beginning of the season, just like a traditional CSA share. But instead of receiving a box, they can shop for their produce at a designated pickup spot on the farm or at the farm's market booth. That's also been gaining popularity. It combines the flexibility of a customizable share, where people can kind of pick what food they want from their farmer, while also reducing some of the burden on the farmer to put a box together every week. There's a lot less logistics that go into a market share. So those are a few things that we've seen. A lot more flexibility on the customer end and a lot more ease from the farmer's perspective.
A lot of those decisions are made with that customer in mind. Obviously, the consumer preferences have changed and those make a difference. Is buying local still strong among consumers within the CSA program, or how have their preferences changed?
Yeah, so we've seen local food purchasing in general is still a really strong trend. The pandemic caused unprecedented change in where, how, and what food consumers were purchasing and where it came from and how they're getting it. The University of Kentucky has actually done some really interesting research on consumer preferences. They're currently in the process of running another consumer study with even more updated information. But what we've seen regionally in our farmer network is we saw a really large increase in CSA purchasing during 2020, 2021, and now we're seeing a little bit closer to numbers to where we were pre-pandemic, but other local markets like farmers markets and food co-ops are still really strong as well. So definitely little ebb and flow over the pandemic just in terms of CSA, but local purchasing overall has stayed pretty steady.
What are the high demand products that consumers are asking for, or even some that maybe are going faster than others that you've seen?
Yeah, so we've seen a big increase in winter and storage shares. So that's kind of like late season shares. You know, the traditional CSA, at least in the Midwest, kind of goes, it depends on the farm, obviously, but like there's a spring share, which kind of is April and May, and then the full season share usually goes September, October. There's an increase in winter or storage shares, which are kind of that late season, like October, November storage. Crops like onions, potatoes, things that can last really well. People seem to be really interested in local purchasing, continuing beyond what's seen as the standard growing season where the farmers markets are in full swing. So we've seen a lot more interest in kind of that late season purchasing. And then add-ons have also been really popular. So farms who offer grain or meat add-ons where you can kind of purchase additional things in addition to your veggies, eggs, flours, to kind of round out and offer more of a whole diet type share has been something that we've seen a lot of increase in. It's also really attractive for consumers because it cuts down on the number of products they have to buy elsewhere. So CSA can become kind of more of a one-stop pickup rather than, you know, one of several places you have to go to get your groceries.
And with that higher demand that we talked about of people wanting that local grown food, how have prices changed?
So as with most things the last few years, the price of farming inputs, overall costs in general have risen. Many small-scale diversified vegetable farmers aren't making a living wage when you look at their overall hours they work compared to their income, just in general, because farming is a lot of work. It's really hard. It's expensive to get everything you need. So we've seen CSA share prices rise in conjunction with other rising prices in order for farmers to continue to run successful and sustainable farm businesses. The farmers that we work with, they raise their price because they need to be able to succeed in their business, not necessarily because they're selling out super fast and want to make a bunch of money on it. The farmers that we work with are very cost conscious and thinking through what is a fair price for their labor and what is a fair price for the food they're growing, and kind of the tension between wanting to feed people and needing to make a living wage. So prices have been rising, but for the most part, that is from what we've been hearing, it's due to the rising prices, not necessarily just because of consumer preferences in general. It's really focused on making sure that their businesses are sustainable.
And what is really the benefit for farmers to become part of that CSA program?
One of the biggest benefits of being a CSA farmer is the upfront payment at the beginning of the season. When the majority of expenses are coming in, seeds, soil inputs, tool maintenance, all that's happening months before they're selling their product. So having customers opt in early creates a really strong reciprocal relationship with their members. There's also a really strong personal connection. So people are buying in, they're invested in your farm, they're invested in the food you're growing. And then people also just love knowing their farmers, knowing where and how their food is grown. CSA really helps facilitate that connection.
How can customers sign up to purchase a share of a CSA farm's produce? How soon should they be signing up?
In today's digital age, most farms have CSA forms directly on their website. You can check with farm support organizations for tools to find a farm. FairShare has an online farm search tool, which is really handy. Do a simple Google search, look on social media. You can ask friends, family at the farmer's market or at food co-ops to find CSA farms. And then once you kind of narrow it down, usually the sign-up form is just right on the website. Farms are, you know, have really dialed in on how to make it as easy as possible to sign up. And sign-ups are in full swing. CSA week is February 19th to the 25th, which is the busiest time of year for CSA signups. So it's definitely a good time. If you're worried about a farm selling out, which does happen, now is definitely the time to find a share.
That was Tess Romansky, Communications and Development Manager for the Fair Share CSA Coalition. She added that it's more than just getting food from your farmer. It's about supporting that farmer, living a healthier lifestyle, and really understanding how your food is grown so that you can continue to share that knowledge with future generations. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
On Facebook, you'll see a picture I posted yesterday. I've got two Sheltie dogs, and boy, I'll tell you, they love playing outside with Mom. Mom not so happy when they come in the house, and I imagine a lot of you folks are dealing with the same. Hey, we've got some good news later this morning about the request for some special conditions on TIF districts that could impact a couple different agriculture projects around Wisconsin, including a soy crush facility being proposed for the community of Evansville. Stick around for that. We're also waiting for development at the state capitol about potential funding for expansion on the gas pumps that you have access to across the state. Cal Dalton is a corn producer. He's in the Partyville area. He keeps an eye on what's going on with ethanol and has been a voice for the ethanol industry since its inception. He says what you have to understand are that those pumps are expensive, but they save you money if you got access.
The ethanol pumps that they're talking about, the pumps that would contain higher blends of ethanol, some of the filling stations around the state do have them right now, and typically the 15% blend of ethanol is 5 to 10 cents a gallon cheaper, sometimes even 20, depending on the station. And so it's a good value for the consumer. Any car built from 2001 to present day can use that fuel, and it's a clean fuel. It's there's a lot less pollution associated with 15% blends versus even the 10% blends.
Kel Dalton, he is a corn grower from Partyville, also a member of the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association, and he says the other thing you have to remember and why they're asking for assistance from the state is those pumps that offer you E15 are expensive.
A lot of these pumps are, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, which, you know, really surprises a lot of people, but they have to be to function, and usually there's a 10-year lifespan on those pumps. And in the National Corn Growers, we worked with Gilbarco, which is a pump manufacturer, and Dresser Wayne, which is the other one, to develop components in their pumps that would take up to 30-40% ethanol blends in the future.
There you got it. Some of the rationale behind what they're talking about at the State House, looking for a little financial support for our individual gasoline pumps, trying to give you E15 as a fueling option. Not bad, especially when you start thinking about how the price of everything else has been going up around the state of Wisconsin, including the cost of food. More on that a little later this morning. Right now, it's time to pivot and talk about how you can be spending time in the great outdoors walking instead of driving, if you like. Time to catch up with our friends, Tumak Ag Meteorologist, for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Wednesday. Yeah, I imagine you've got a hound, too. I suppose yours is making all kinds of love tracks around your house, too, like mine.
Oh, yeah. He got in the back hall and left some big wet prints this morning with a little mud in every one of them. It's like, oh, that'll be fun cleaning up later.
When I posted my picture of the Sheltie dogs yesterday, I said, I can hear my dad talking to my mom. At this time of the year, it was always her kind of holding her head in supposed agony when we came in from outside, because you couldn't get your boots off fast enough. You couldn't get your boots off before you hit the kitchen door or the hallway. And my dad would always say, look at her and just say, it's only mud. Well, sometimes it's only mud.
It's mostly only dirt when it gets here. Come on.
Well, it's going to be around for a while, buddy. I love it. This is crazy, though, how much above average we are.
Yeah, I can see the snow melted back the little bit ahead close to the deck. You can see it's back a couple of inches from yesterday. It's still the wet spot, of course, as it's thawing yet some more this morning because temperatures are so very, very mild. A high pressure system is trying its best to keep us high and dry for today, but there's a bit of a warm front pushing up in the southern part of the state. A cool front pulls through by late today and into the nighttime. Not that it's going to have any kind of an influence. I do not expect precipitation. Some morning clouds in eastern Wisconsin will clear out and will brighten up statewide and have a very, very much above normal mild day for today. That's all there is to the story. I just don't expect it to change too much. Temperature is still well above for tomorrow, but then we cool it down. After this cool front slips through west and northwest winds Thursday into Thursday night, we'll tap into some cooler air. We, in fact, drop back a lot more like normal for Friday. And before you think that's the end of it, it turns right around. Saturday, Sunday, we start to warm up. Not very quickly Saturday, but by Sunday and Monday, we push back up into the 50s for most places. We may see one of those close to 60s by Tuesday. And I just don't have precipitation in that picture either. We've been talking about it as we get together that, you know, are we going to hit one of those planting seasons where it rains a lot again because we're not getting it now? I hope that's not the case. I don't see it in the forecast, but we are going to be staying dry on through the end of February and pretty mild as well. I'll have forecast details right after this.
That's basically all I can say about the brand new Bavaria Berkshire Brats. I'm eating them. My family's eating them. My friends are eating them. And everybody says the same thing. Wow. Yeah, fabulous. Farm Bay Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage. Now, these special Berkshire Brats are available only in their retail location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5. You will notice the difference. Bavaria Sausage created these Berkshire Brats on their own. They have the old world flavors. They have the old world recipes that they knew were tried and true. They amped it up by working direct with a farmer that focuses exclusively on raising quality Berkshire hogs. And you will notice the difference. Do a side-by-side tasting with your friends and your family, and you'll be coming back for more. And we sure hope you do. But remember, for right now, the Berkshire Brats available only in-store at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5. All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast. It is grilling weather out there now.
Now you're talking. I hadn't thought of that. The Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast does call for our skies to become mostly sunny. Morning clouds, especially in the east, will clear out a bit and we brighten up. And we're going to have a day mid-50s east, upper 50s west. And the south winds will become northwest later, only about 5, not too chilly. Mostly cloudy tonight, a little clearing maybe late, mid or just a few lower 30s here and there. North winds around 5. A few morning clouds, but skies become sunny on Thursday, still pushing up toward the mid-50s with the winds becoming northwest about 5 to 10 and mostly sunny Friday. Here's your cool one, Pam. Mid-30s, I expect, Friday. North winds 5 to 10 and then back up around 40 and climbing the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, that just is spooky to think about 60. When is the end of winter? Do you remember?
Well, according to the calendar, you know, that's going to be March 1st. Winter's over, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you.
We've got a ways to go.
Yeah, on the calendar anyhow. All right, dude.
Yes.
See you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, see you then.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Wednesday. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit Compure.com. Hey, don't forget, 1 o'clock today, Compure's got that special online webinar for you first-time home buyers that are thinking about investing in a rural property. They've got a new financing package that might be the ticket for your success this spring. Compure.com is where you can get registered. That's happening at 1 o'clock today.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The first trial in the deadly onset shooting in New Mexico more than 2 years ago on Alec Baldwin's low-budget Western.
The armor on the film Rust, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, goes on trial today for involuntary manslaughter and tampering charges. They'll start with jury selection in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Prosecutors say Gutierrez-Reed was negligent in handling weapons and ammunition on the set in October of 2021, one of the factors that led to Alec Baldwin pulling the trigger on a gun that should never have been loaded with live rounds. Baldwin is also facing an involuntary manslaughter charge. His trial date has not yet been set.
ABC's Jason Nathanson. Donald Trump has yet to put up the hundreds of millions of dollars needed to appeal the New York business fraud judgment against him. State Attorney General Letitia James says they're ready to start taking over Trump's properties if he does not. Christopher Ward died in a hospital in Lakewood, Colorado, after he was bitten by one of the two venomous Gila monsters he kept as pets. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
The University of Wisconsin in Madison must now accept all high school graduates from the state who finish in the top 5% of their class. All other state universities have to admit grads who finish in the top 10%. The new law is part of the deal to release state money in exchange for diversity program cuts. Governor Evers signed the bill into law Tuesday. Wisconsin State Senate Republicans are firing four more of Governor Evers' appointees, including former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. She was serving on the UW Hospitals and Clinics Board. Democratic Senator Kelda Royes.
She did nothing but serve our state well and continues to do so. And yet, this body is going to reject her because of pure partisanship.
Republicans also fired Tom Ames from the Natural Resources Board. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers get past Maryland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wisconsin had the lead, but Maryland closed the gap in the final minutes. The Badgers getting the win, 74-70, thanks to Wisconsin's Max Klesman at the foul line.
One more free throw for Klesman. Eyes the rim. He'll send it. Good night. He hit them both, 74-70, and the Badgers win by four.
NFL David Bakhtiari says the knee is doing great after his latest surgery and thanked his doctor, Brian Cole, on Twitter. Cole, a Chicago-based surgeon. NBA, no one was more surprised the Bucks were firing Adrian Griffin last month than his replacement, Doc Rivers, who was on SiriusXM.
Be honest, I told our owners when they called, I said, I don't understand why you're doing this. And they said, you know, one of the things they said was, well, it doesn't matter. We've done it now, and we want you. That's where you had the hesitation.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Coming up Wednesday on Matt Nair on Air. Join us at 10:30 for a round of the good, the bad, and oh, baby, I've got to get one of these. And weather with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
It is going to be sunny and mild again today with a high right around 50 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 30. Tomorrow, sunny once again. High of 50 on Friday. Sunny and cooler, 31, but we're going to bounce back to the upper 40s to near 50 again for the upcoming weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories, will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Your love. And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting producers and consumers one story at a time. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back on a Wednesday morning. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Tickled you're joining us. We are going to be talking with Grace Link from the Wisconsin Beef Council. There's some important questions they want Wisconsin's beef producers to be answering. And remember, we're not just talking about beef producers with those native cattle, those straight beef breeds. We're also talking now more and more about Wisconsin's dairy industry and what we call the beef on dairy breeds that we're working with. Stick around for that conversation. Also, a new president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association. She hails originally from Missouri. Now she's raising Red Angus beef with her husband, Nolan, in the Rio area. Her name is Tressa Lacey. We're going to find out a little bit more about her background and what she hopes to accomplish with the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association as we roll our way through the morning. Weather-wise, it's going to be a beautiful day around Wisconsin to roll wherever you're going. Partly sunny skies on the way, 56 are expected high. Partly sunny on Thursday, 57. Sudden surprise on Friday, cloudy skies and 36 degrees. So today is the 21st day of February. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1878, the world's first telephone book is issued. It was in New Haven, Connecticut, and guess how big it was? Just a single piece of cardboard, and it had about 50 numbers on it. The first telephone book on this day back in 1878. On this day in 1972, then-President Richard Nixon started his historic trip to China. He was the very first U.S. president to actually physically visit China. Obviously, a really major step in normalizing relations between the two countries. Happened on this day back in 1972. And happy birthday on this 21st day of February to actor Kelsey Grammer, 69. Jennifer Love Hewitt, she is 45, and Elliot Page, celebrating 37 years on this date, and now you know.
It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES group.com. Check them out online. Boy, I'll tell you, the calendar is starting to fill again quickly for 2024. Randy Kath is along with me. Now, you know, when we talk to Randy, usually it's about the quality tested hay auctions or it's about cattle. This time around, Randy, talking about cattle in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, the dairy market is kind of soft right now. A lot of people are looking at a possible transition, so we're doing a lot of on-farm visits right now, trying to figure things out with the families. And, you know, it's a tenuous time right now, so we're just trying to give sellers options. That's what we're looking at right now, is figuring out a future plan, whether it's a transition from a livestock operation into a, or a dairy operation to a beef operation, or continuing on without the cattle and moving to a crop entity. You know, the reality is we need both buyers and sellers, right? So a lot of these guys that are transitioning transitioning away from livestock, chances are they need to sell some livestock equipment, but maybe need to add some equipment back from a crop rotation standpoint. And we offer both, you know, so we can help out on any type of farm transition, whether it's crop, livestock involved, construction, or otherwise.
You know, gone are the days when you could call around the state with other dairy guys that you knew, see if they wanted to pick up a couple of cows, you want to take the whole herd. You guys offer that wide net that you can cast to find those operations that are looking to grow a little bit.
Absolutely. So it's just not a local market anymore. It's such a regional and nationwide market. Most of our cattle auctions that we've had will have buyers from 12 to 15 different states. So, you know, you don't just have to rely on your neighbors to buy your cattle anymore. We open up opportunities for literally a nationwide market.
Randy Kath along with us from the Steffes Group. Again, remember that website, steffesgroup.com. Now, let's talk about an auction you've got coming up in Wisconsin, month of March.
Yeah, we have the Bacon Family Farms of Amherst, Wisconsin. They've retired from the dairy business and the crop entity. Three brothers over there that did a really nice job for a long time decided to hang it up and gave us a call, and we're happy to help them. They've got a nice run of equipment, got some really good-looking boxcar magnums out there, 7240, 7140, 7120, just a nice set of tractors, moderate on the hours, 5, 6,000 hours, good shape, good runners, good tires, and along the line, pretty much a full cropping operation, so combines and harvest equipment right down to seeding and tillage equipment. Should be a nice run. We do that, and we're doing that March 19th on an online-only style auction. Oh. Go to the website. You can check out pictures and information on all the equipment selling, as well as get the phone number for the boys over there. They'd be happy to answer your question. If you want to go out and take a look at the items, just give them a call. They can take a tour anytime.
That's what I like about the Steffes Group. They don't get in your way. You want to ask the buyer or the seller a question directly as a buyer, they're happy to provide you with that contact information. Like we said, with that sale equipment right there in the center of the state, literally, you know, you're probably just a couple hours drive. Randy Kath along with us from the Steffes Group. You'll find that auction in Amherst online with all the rest at steffesgroup.com. That's steffesgroup.com. Randy Kath along with me from the Steffes Group.
With the Compeer Financial Patronage Program, we share earnings with member owners of our cooperative. It's our way of saying, we are here. Here so you can pay down your loan faster or make a new investment in your operation. And that family vacation you've been putting off? Yep, we're here for that too. Learn more at compeer.com/patronage. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Yelza, what was a strong trade session yesterday in Chicago has turned weak overnight. In overnight trade, December corn right now down a penny at 4.62. November soybeans currently down a nickel at 11.52. July new crop wheat down three right now at 5.77. Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday in Chicago. 40-pound block cheese gained 4.25 at 1.52.25. Double A butter was up 2.5, 2.77.5 per pound. March class 3 milk this morning's down a nickel at 16.94. April's unchanged at 17.15. Be aware, the Dow Jones Industrial Average right now also down about 70 points. Coming up next, introducing you to the new president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association, a Missouri native who's living in Rio now. And we're also visiting with Grace Link from the Wisconsin Beef Council. You stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month. and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Beginning of next week, we will touch out in the low 60s. That's right. I'm saying that today, 21st day of February. Oh, by the way, don't forget, today is the last day for the Wisconsin Forage Symposium. That's happening at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, all about alfalfa production, grasses, cover crops, and also our professional nutrient applicators are there, and our custom operators, Charity Seebecker, is joining up with them today. We also want to remind you that National FFA celebrations continue across the state of Wisconsin tomorrow. We're all about the Day of Giving for the FFA. Hope you'll plan on joining us. We got a brand new face leading the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association. Her name, Tressa Lacey. She is a beef producer along with her husband, Nolan, raising Red Angus cattle in the Ryo area. She originally is from the state of Missouri, but happy to call Wisconsin home now.
So I'm originally from Missouri. I moved to Wisconsin in 2017, and I didn't go to college here, so I didn't really know a lot of producers. And so I joined Cattlemen's because I wanted to meet people with common interests. We bought our farm in 2018, so we started from, you know, the very beginning, put in water lines, fence, barn, all that kind of stuff, and then we bought some Red Angus pairs in 21. We just run 10 head. We only own 35 acres, and then we lease another 35. My husband, he's an ag engineer, so he loves making small square bales, and that's a pretty consistent, you know, form of revenue, and so I'm trying to keep the cow herd small, and we'll just see where it goes from there.
Excellent. Tracy Lacey, she is the new president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association, Missouri native, who now is farming with her husband, Nolan, in Ryo. We welcome her. Well, we welcome in this morning our friends from the Wisconsin Beef Council. They are the folks that drive the messages about beef production, beef consumption, beef research across the state of Wisconsin. You can find more out about the Wisconsin Beef Council at beeftips.com. Joining us today is Grace Link. She is the compliance officer with the Wisconsin Beef Council. And she wants beef producers across the state, which of course includes our dairy segment, to recognize that there is a survey circulating out there. Wisconsin Beef Council wants your feedback on where your checkoff dollars are being invested. And Grace Link wants you to know they have very specific guidelines on where those dollars can go.
Yeah, so we know that the more farmers, ranchers, and cattle producers know about the Beef Checkoff Program, the more they tend to support it. But we have to be really careful and keep in mind that the Beef Checkoff is there to drive demand for beef. So farmers and producers are not our target audience. We're leaning into consumers, getting them to eat more beef, put beef on their plates, feed it to their families, etc. So we want to be careful about how we spend those checkoff dollars, because we want to keep in mind that we want to spend you know, we don't want to spend your checkoff dollars teaching you what they're doing. So we have to, you know, carefully work around that. Of course, we want you to be informed and you want to know where your money is being spent. And we like telling you guys all the things that we are doing with checkoff dollars, but it's a fine line. So we've created this survey. It's very quick, easy to take, online and paper versions. And of course, free. So it's a great way for us to gather our information so we can help better inform all of our producers in the state of Wisconsin on what we're up to at the Beef Checkoff.
Grace Link's in studio with us. Again, she's a compliance officer. That's why she is so wants to make clear how they can spend checkoff dollars and how they cannot at the Wisconsin Beef Council. So let's talk about the questions then. Where did you focus in, Grace, when it comes to the survey, and how long is it going to take? Because for people that are unfamiliar with what happens in the beef industry right now, a lot of people busy with calving, including yourself.
Yeah, so two main things that we wanted to learn with this survey that we thought we could do the most with, and that is learning where farmers and ranchers get their news and information from, whether that be online, through social media, through printed magazines, through other producers, through events, etc., and then their overall knowledge and support of the Beef Checkoff program. So do they know how we can and cannot spend our checkoff dollars? Do they know the structure of our beef council within the state, our board members, who represents them, how those dollars get allocated and being spent in our budgeting and all that? So those are kind of the two things that we focused on. The survey takes less than 5 minutes. Like I mentioned, it's online, all kind of yes or no bullet point questions. We don't ask you to write any sentences or paragraphs. So it's pretty easy to take. And we do appreciate all your time and effort in sharing kind of your information with us.
Well, and let me get a shameless plug in. If you're listening to this right now and you're hearing it on the radio, on the podcast, please remember to give that feedback to the Wisconsin Beef Council as well, so they know that Grace is not wasting her time sharing this message. And let's talk just a little bit more about, we can only use checkoff dollars for certain things by law, and you're very aware of that. Producers should be. If they're not, give them a few items that they can turn to immediately, Grace, to try to educate themselves about the great things that checkoff dollars are doing both in Wisconsin and maybe as important nationally and internationally.
Yeah, so no checkoff dollars can be used for policy on the government side of things. So some highlights that we've had within our state in this fiscal year. Remember, our mission is to drive demand for beef. So thinking specifically with that mindset, we did have the school food service resource guide launch. So that's a 36-page all-encompassing beef resource guide that is given to school districts across the state to encourage them to menu more beef and see the benefits of it. Angie Horkin, the beef lady, appeared over 180 times on 8 different stations and 6 TV markets throughout the state. We had an extremely good social media presence on 2 new platforms, as well as our tried and true Facebook and Instagram platforms as well this year. We hosted a wonderful trade team from Japan. So all those things, they have one thing in common, and that's to drive demand for beef. So that's the main goal, and we've had some really good success with that this year.
And again, like we said, Grace Lincoln Studio, if you have not yet received your survey, if you're a part of the beef industry, and as Grace pointed out, maybe you've only got a couple cow, calf, pair, something like that, don't be afraid to reach out to the Wisconsin Beef Council and make sure that you get that survey. We'll also try to help by inserting a QR code on our podcast, as well as a link to make sure if you feel like you have been overlooked, you will not be after that. And there's other ways that we can have people reach out to be a part of the survey, right, Grace?
Yeah, so we have a email list within our state. So the Wisconsin Beef Council Producer Communications email list goes out roughly once a month. So that's just a whole bunch of fun things that we're doing, again, to drive demand for beef in the state. There's producer events listed in there and all good information specifically for our state's producers. You can also sign up for The Drive. So that's a Cattlemen's Beef Board publication. Excellent, excellent resource to know not only what your dollars are doing at the state level, but also the national level. And you can get that in either print, video, or email form. So all kinds of options there. And then coming up, as we know, this time of year is meeting season in our state. So we'll be at all of the Equity Co-op annual meetings here coming up starting at the end of the month. And we're always happy and very welcomed to speak at different breed organization meetings, and we enjoy getting together with producers and sharing what we're doing in that perspective, too. There is also two producing quality beef meetings left this year, one on February 29th in Sparta and one on March 14th in Stratford. So those are excellent ways not only to better yourself as a beef producer, but also learn about what other organizations in the state are doing and working on.
Excellent. Thanks. Grace Link, along with us from the Wisconsin Beef Council, your beef checkoff dollars at work. Find out more at beeftips.com. That's also brought to you courtesy of our friends at the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Barns. So the five things I want to leave you with this morning, don't forget ethanol, E15 savings at the pump, getting some support at the state capitol for pump improvements across the state. A TIF district that could bring Wisconsin's first major soybean crush plant to the state has been approved. That location could be in Evansville. Also, now is the time if you want to be a subscription consumer, going out to farms and getting fresh produce on a weekly basis, get signed up for those CSAs, Community Supported Agriculture Ventures, today. Like we just heard, new president for the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association from Ryo. Congratulations to Tressa Lacey. And get your survey responses in for the Wisconsin Beef Council and your beef checkoff dollars. There you go, folks. Everything wrapped with a bow on a Wednesday. Tomorrow morning, our friends with EverAg give us guidance on what's happening with the dairy markets. And tomorrow's also the day of giving for the National FFA and our Wisconsin FFA. We'll see you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The census of agriculture is about so much more than agriculture, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. While a new census of agriculture is done every 5 years in the U.S., and the results from the latest one just came out last week, work has already begun on the next one. At the release event, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack shared concerns about the continued decline in American farm and farmland numbers. But he also expressed hope and encouragement that younger persons could help create new models for farming and ranching operations.
Why is that important beyond agriculture? Because if you, in fact, can preserve those small and mid-sized farming operations, you preserve the ability of those families to live, to work, and raise their children in the small towns. Those kids will go to the small town school, which will prevent the necessity of constant mergers of rural schools. The small business owner who is in need of customers will obviously have more customers. The small town hospital won't have to beg to get a physician, won't have to be concerned about it being constrained to a clinic, because it'll have sufficient population to support a small town hospital.
Learn more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Wednesday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian and award-winning writer Jeff Cesario and Mad Unity host Jorge Reyna. Check me out in my new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Peach Wava.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
February is a month for heart-centered celebrations, including the more serious side, the one focusing on your heart health.
it's great for education for everyone. You know, there is a big focus for women, but it's really for everyone. You know, focus on your blood pressure. Focus on how your heart works.
Mark Hewson is a team facilitator with Bellin Health in Green Bay. He says the Heart Month's focus is on CPR and saving lives, but also sharing why even a little exercise can make a difference.
Just getting active, and we all know it. There shouldn't be any excuses, but we make excuses. Before you walk inside, take a quick walk around the neighborhood. When I say take a quick walk, 10, 15 minutes.
You can find tips, including heart-friendly foods and more, at heart.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.